بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the noble prophet, his household, and the noble companions, and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. The question is, do Muslims worship the Kaaba and the black stone? This is often a misconception raised by many people who are ignorant of Islam, or somehow they get to believe this thing in one way or another. Before attempting to answer this question, it is important to review some basics regarding Islam, which will be very helpful for those who really honestly are searching for the truth regarding this matter and regarding Islam in general. So there will be an introduction to some important terms and their meanings, and this will hopefully help in providing a clear picture to the entire issue. First of all, who is Allah? Allah is the identifying name or title of the majestic, sole and true God. This title applies to none other than Allah. He, most majestic and high, has other names, all of which follow on from his name Allah. The meaning of the name Allah is in Arabic Al-Ma'luh, which means that worship, the one worshipped out of love, magnification, deification, and longing. This is the meaning of the title Allah. The second is to know about him that he is the creator to whom belongs the commandment. His name Allah is not chosen by man, and it is not named after a prophet, saint, or any famous man. He is the God whom Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus, and Muhammad, peace be upon them all, worshipped and submitted themselves to him. He has perfect attributes. He is the first, nothing is before him. He is the last, nothing is after him. The most high, nothing is above him. He is above all creation. In essence and in the rank of perfection of his attributes as well, and in his subduing to everything. He is the most near. Nothing is beyond his reach and his compassing. And he is the most high in his nearness. And he is the most near in his highness. He is the ever living, and to him we shall return. He does not beget, nor is he begotten. This is the first important matter in this introduction. The second is, there are two important terms that needs to be also defined. One is called Tawheed, and the other is called Shirk. Tawheed spells as T-A-W-H-E-E-D, and Shirk spells as S-H-I-R-K. Tawheed means singling Allah out as the sole creator, provider, nourisher, and sustainer of all that exists, and as the one who is qualified with the unique names and attributes, and the only true God worthy of all worship. This is the meaning of Tawheed. The second term, which is called Shirk, this opposes the essence of Tawheed, and it means ascribing partners to Allah and worshipping them with or to the exclusion of Allah. And Allah does not forgive for someone to ascribe partners to Him in any way or any form. Now, what is Islam? Islam means to submit to Allah with Tawheed. It means to submit to Allah with Tawheed and to yield obediently to Him, and to free and disassociate oneself from shirk and its people. This is Islam. It doesn't mean only submission. Islam means to submit to Allah with Tawheed and to yield obediently to Him, and to free and disassociate oneself from shirk and its people. The term Islam is chosen by Allah and not by man. It is the same message revealed to all the prophets and messengers of Allah, and which they conveyed to their respective nations. It was revealed in its final and universal form to the final prophet and last prophet, Muhammad, peace be upon him, who was sent to mankind and to jinns. And what are jinns? Jinns are beings created with free will, living on earth in a world parallel to that of man, and are invisible to human eyes in their normal state. They are created from fire, while the angels are created from light. Amongst the jinn, there are believers and non-believers. Shaitan, the devil, Satan, is a name given to a disbelieving, or to the father of all jinns. His name is Iblis, Satan. He is the leader of the disbelieving jinns. So, in its final and universal form to mankind and to jinns, Islam was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, to convey it to them. And he is the final and last messenger. What is the meaning of worship in Islam? What is the meaning of worship in Islam? Worship has a general and a specific meaning. Worship has a general and a specific meaning. In its general sense, it means submitting oneself to Allah with love and awe, by doing that which He has commanded and avoiding that which He has forbidden, in the manner laid down and prescribed by Him. I would repeat, worship has a general and specific meaning. In its general sense, it is submitting oneself to Allah with love and awe, by doing that which He has commanded and avoiding that which He has forbidden, in the manner laid down and prescribed by Him. And this is very important, because it will help in answering this matter. In the manner laid down and prescribed by Him. This is the general meaning of worship in Islam. In its specific sense, worship is a comprehensive term for everything that Allah loves and is pleased with, both sayings and actions, the apparent and the hidden, meaning the inward actions pertaining to the heart. And for this meaning to be realized and implemented, it is inevitable that man must worship Allah with submissiveness and compliance according to the way Allah has prescribed, and in the manner which He, the one free of all imperfection, is pleased with. Worship, therefore, cannot be according to what people come up with from desires and opinions. And this is also very important, because many people claim that we worship the true God, but and check as to the type of worship they do, you'll find different ways and different forms. Now, what is the purpose of creation? Allah, the one free of all imperfection and the most high, did not create the creation in play, that is without any purpose. Indeed, they were brought to exist only due to a great wisdom, embracing within its folds the secrets of happiness for this life and for the next one. Allah the Most High states in the Quran the following, in chapter 23, verse 115, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Did you think that we created you for idly and for no purpose, and that you would not be brought back to us for requital? Allah, the one free of all imperfection, the most high, has made clear the purpose behind creating mankind and jinns. This is stated in the Quran in chapter 51-56. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create the jinn and mankind except that they worship me. Now, refer a little bit earlier and try to refresh yourself with the meaning of worship in the general and the specific sense, which was already defined earlier. This noble verse in the Quran directs us to the established fact upon which life is based, that there is a specified objective behind the existence of mankind and jinn. And this is signified in the execution of a noble task. The one who undertakes this task has indeed accomplished the purpose behind his existence. And the one who fails to achieve this objective, his life becomes aimless and devoid of its pure and genuine meaning. This specified objective is the worship of Allah alone, in the manner which Allah has prescribed for His slaves to worship Him. And this covers the entire aspects of life, from one's own interaction with His Creator, to one's own interaction with Himself and His family, relatives, friends, neighbors, work, you name it. The life of man in its entirety will never be upright unless it is in accordance with this noble task, being directed to achieve this objective. What constitutes a true happiness? The true happiness in this life and the next one lies in the accomplishment of the purpose of the creation mentioned. And this demands the adherence to Allah's way regarding faith and all manners and transactions, and by striving against oneself and making it comply with the way of Allah in all aspects of life. And for this, there is a great glad tiding stated in the Quran in chapter 2, verse 38. فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. And in another verse, in this verse, whenever there comes to you guidance from me, and whoever follows my guidance, there shall be no fear on them, nor shall they grieve. What is the Quran? You heard that there was citations or were some citations of the Quran. What is the Quran? The Quran is the word of Allah, which He revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Allah has promised to protect to protect this noble book and glorious book from any kind of distortion, adulteration, addition, or impairment. It supersedes all, and it supersedes and abrogates all the books that preceded it, such as the Torah, which was revealed to Moses, and the Zabur, revealed to Dawood, to David, and the Injil, the Gospel, revealed to Jesus, peace be upon them all. Allah has sent down the Quran as guidance and mercy to mankind. The Quran calls for the Tawheed of Allah and guides to all that is good. It is a comprehensive legislation which fits to all mankind at all times, and which Muslims are directed to implement in their daily lives. This brings the end of this introduction. Now we come to the question, do Muslims actually worship the Kaaba or the Black Stone in Mecca? In light of this introduction, the answer to this question is simply no. Muslims don't worship neither the Kaaba nor the Black Stone. The following perspectives clarifies the scope of this answer. First of all, raising the foundations for the most purified house. Raising the foundations for the most purified house. Prophet Abraham and his son Ismail were commanded by Allah to raise the foundations of the first house for the worship of Allah, which became known as the Kaaba. Allah has described it in the Quran, saying about this in chapter 3, verse 96. إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكًا وَهُدًى لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Verily, the first house of worship appointed for mankind was at Bekka. Bekka is Mecca. Full of blessing and a guidance for al-alameen, for mankind and jinns. Also, we read in the Noble Quran in chapter 22, verse 26, وَإِذْ بَوَّأْنَا لِإِبْرَاهِيمَ مَكَانَ الْبَيْتِ أَلَّا تُشْرِكَ بِي شَيْئًا وَطَهِّرْ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْعَاكِفِينَ وَالرُّكَعِ السُّجُودِ. And remember when we showed Abraham the site of the sacred house of the Kaaba at Mecca, saying, associate not anything in worship with me. Listen to this great admonition. Associate not anything in worship with me, and purify my house from all forms of shirk. Remember shirk earlier? Ascribing partners and or anything to or to the exclusion of Allah, with or to the exclusion of Allah. And purify my house from all forms of shirk, for those who walk around it, and those who stand up for prayer, and those who bow, submit themselves with humility and obedience to Allah, and make prostration in prayer. From these verses, it's clear that, number one, after preparing this site for Abraham, Allah commanded him not to associate anything in worship with him. Secondly, this site must be purified from all forms of shirk and idol worshipping. So whoever wants to set the Kaaba itself or the site of it as an object and as an object of worship along with Allah, then he would be committing the gravest sin, and that is shirk. Thirdly, that Allah himself has sanctified this site and honored it by calling it my house. By calling it my house. Accordingly, the Kaaba must be honored by all believers, and that it must be purified from all shirk. This clearly proves that Allah did not set the Kaaba to be worshipped itself. Even the rituals done by the Kaaba are to be done sincerely and purely for Allah. carefully examine the following verse in the Noble Quran. In Surah Quraysh, which is 106, chapter 106, verses 3 and 4. Allah the Most High says, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. So let them worship Allah, the Lord of this house. The Lord of this house, the Kaaba, who has fed them against hunger and has made them safe from fear. We know that the mosques are sites approved by Allah for the believers to conduct their worship in them. The true believers honor the mosques because Allah has honored them by calling them houses of Allah, Buyutullah. Allah, the one free of all imperfection, the Most High, sometimes refers to created things as His, indicating that He, the Mighty and Majestic, created them. Sometimes He refers to certain things as My or His, simply because of the special place of honor He gives them, like the Kaaba, the mosques, etc. The degree of honor of these things differ as Allah views them differently. Muslims, for example, are commanded to perform their 5-day prayers in congregation in these mosques sincerely for Allah's sake. They don't worship the mosque or its surroundings. Similarly, it is the case with the Kaaba or any other site where certain rituals are made. Nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah. Any Muslim who directs worship to anyone or anything other than Allah, or to the exclusion of Allah, then he is a mushrik, a associationist. Mushrik derived from shirk, committing shirk, because this is a direct opposition to Tawheed, that which we explained earlier. Second matter, keeping the house of Allah pure. Keeping the house of Allah pure. After Prophet Abraham, the pagan Arabs introduced over 360 idols around the Kaaba, as well as altars for sacrificing animals to the idols. Men and women performed the religious rite of circulating the Kaaba stark naked. They distorted the rites of pilgrimage to the house, which was practiced by Ibrahim, as prescribed to him by Allah, the Most High. The most important distortion was introducing partners to Allah in these sites. They used to proclaim around the Kaaba, they used to say, "No one is your partner, O Allah, except one who is permitted by you. You are his master and the master of what he possesses." End of their proclamation. This proclamation nullifies the essence of Tawheed, which is the greatest of the rights of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And that's why at the conquest of Kaaba, which took place around 630 of the current era, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, destroyed all the idols in and around the Kaaba, bringing it back to its original state of purity, free from the most serious of all that Allah forbid, which is shirk. Allah states in the Quran about shirk the following. In 31:13, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Shirk is the greatest transgression. Shirk is the greatest transgression because it is a transgression against the right of Allah, our Creator. And that's why the severity of the punishment is made clear in the Quran concerning this in chapter 5, verse 72. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ ومأواه النار وما للظالمين من أنصار. Indeed, whoever associates anything in worship with Allah, then Allah has forbidden paradise for him, and his abode will be the fire. And for the transgressors who worship others besides Allah, there will be no help to save them from the punishment of Allah on the day of resurrection. Very serious. In fact, Allah has made it very clear that shirk is the only sin which he does not forgive. In Surah An-Nisa 4:48, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Verily Allah forgives not the partners should be set up with him in worship. This is shirk. And whoever sets up partners with Allah in worship, he has indeed invented a tremendous sin. Verily Allah forgives not the partners should be set up with him in worship, but he forgives except that anything else to whom he pleases. And whoever sets up partners with Allah in worship, he has indeed invented a tremendous sin. In one place in the Quran, which is chapter 6, verses 83-88, Allah mentioned the guidance he bestowed upon many of the prophets and messengers, and then warned, saying, ولو أشركوا لحبط عنهم ما كانوا يعملون. ولو أشركوا لحبط عنهم ما كانوا يعملون. If they had joined in worship others with Allah, all that they used to do would have been of no benefit to them. If they had joined in worship others with Allah, all that they used to do would have been of no benefit to them. And it is impossible that the prophets and the messengers whom Allah had sent to mankind in the past, and finally Muhammad, peace be upon him, to the rest of mankind until the day of resurrection, it is impossible that they come and call people to Tawheed and they themselves commit shirk. But this is to make it clear the severity of the situation of committing shirk and its seriousness. In fact, the same was emphasized in the warning to the last messenger, Muhammad, peace be upon him. And we know that it's impossible that he would commit shirk. But just to tell you of the gravity of the situation concerning this matter, this is made very clear in 39:65, chapter 39:65. وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And indeed it has been revealed to you, O Muhammad, as it was to those before you, if you join others in worship with Allah, then surely all your deeds will be in vain, and you will certainly be among the losers. And this if here, which is if you join, is called the impossible conditional if. The impossible conditional if. This means it's impossible that the messengers would commit shirk. But this is to tell you of the seriousness of the matter, so that people take it very, very seriously. There was not any nation left without a messenger sent by Allah, the Most High, calling the people to the gravity of shirk, to avoid it. In fact, in 16:36, Allah the Most High says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. We sent a messenger to every nation, ordering that they should worship Allah alone, and that they should avoid everything worship besides Allah. Hence it is rather impossible that Allah would condone setting up rivals with Him in worship. Those who think that the Kaaba or anything else are objects of worship along with Allah, or to the exclusion of Allah, have an ill opinion of Allah and of His attributes. Third method, the purpose of the Kaaba. The purpose of the Kaaba. Number one, blessings and guidance. The religion of Islam is based upon two great foundations. The first one, remembrance of Allah, and second, gratitude, meaning being grateful to our Creator Allah, the Most High. This is illustrated in many places in the Quran. Take for example chapter 2 verse 152. قال الله تعالى, Allah the Most High says, فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. So remember me, I will remember you, and be grateful to me for my countless favors on you, and never be ungrateful to me. Allah's remembrance is not just with the tongue. It comprises both the remembrance with the tongue and with the heart. Not only that, it also includes knowing Him by His names and attributes, believing in Him as the only true God worthy of worship, and praising Him for being the one who deserves all praise. All of this cannot be complete until we single Allah with all worship. On the other hand, being thankful to Allah means to sincerely establish obedience to Him and to seek all the ways of nearness to Him which He and His Messenger approved of. So, His remembrance necessitates knowing of Him, and His gratitude comprises obedience to Him, both of which constitute the purpose for which we are created. Allah has made the Kaaba a safe place on earth where men assemble to remember and obey Allah through various acts of worship which Allah has specified. This includes tawaf, which means circulating the Kaaba, prayers and other rituals, all of which are blessings and guidance to them. Right over the house, above the house of Allah on earth and in the seventh heaven above us, there is another house of Allah which is called Al-Baytul Ma'mur, which is called the most inhabited house. 70,000 angels visit it daily, circuiting around it, praying, and never return to it. Always a fresh batch comes to it daily. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shown this house of Allah when the angel Gabriel took him on a night journey to the seventh heaven. This authentic narration has been reported in the most authentic books of narrations concerning the sayings and actions and approvals of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and they are known as Bukhari and Muslim. Allah, the one free of all imperfection, the Most High, says in chapter 3 verse 96, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكًا وَهُدًى لِلْعَالَمِينَ فَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Verily the first house of worship appointed for mankind was at Mecca, full of blessing, look at this, full of blessing and a guidance for mankind and jinns. In it are manifest signs, for example, the place of Abraham, and whoever enters it, he attains security, and the pilgrimage to Allah's sacred house is a duty upon those able to perform it. and whoever refuses and rejects the obligation of performing the pilgrimage to Mecca, then Allah has no need of him or any of the creation. The blessings mean abundant and continuous good, which is mentioned in this verse. It means abundant and continuous good. No house on earth is more blessed than the house of Al-Kaaba, where the rewards of worship are greatly amplified. One single prayer in the mosque of the Kaaba is equivalent to 100,000 prayers elsewhere, as the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said in an authentic report. The house has been described in the infinitive form as, quote, and a guidance, end of quote, in order to emphasize its statures and degree, meaning as if it itself is a guidance. Meaning as if itself is a guidance. After all, Allah wanted this house to be established for His remembrance on earth and honored by referring to it as My House. Accordingly, He, the Exalted, commanded the believers to perform pilgrimage to it and placed a great reward for those who perform this journey. In fact, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, whoever performs Hajj solely for Allah, and in the course he abstains from sensual and sinful acts, he will return as pure as on the day his mother gave birth to him. And this is reported by Al-Bukhari. In another narration, he said, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the reward for a Hajj free from sins is nothing less than paradise. Is nothing less than paradise. Second, it is a symbol of unity and a great reward. Believers on earth are commanded to assemble in five congregational prayers daily and direct their faces while in prayer towards the sacred house of Allah, the Kaaba. This is stated in chapter 2 in the Noble Quran, verse 144. فولي وجهك شطر المسجد الحرام وحيثما كنتم فولوا وجوهكم شطرة. So turn your face, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the direction of the sacred house at Mecca, and wherever you people are, turn your faces in that direction during the prayer. The prayer is for Allah, who is above everything and who encompasses everything. In this life, their faces are in the direction of His house, and in the hereafter, their eyes will be looking at Allah Himself. And this is the greatest reward. In chapter 75:22-23, Allah says, وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَى رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. Some faces that day shall be shining and radiant, looking at their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whoever magnifies Allah and his heart assembles on Tawheed and magnifying the symbols of Allah in this life, and one of them is the Kaaba, then he will have this greatest reward in the hereafter. Fourthly, honoring the signs of Allah and the symbols of Allah. The rites and ceremonies of the pilgrimage and the places where those rites and ceremonies are performed, and their timing and the execution, like the Kaaba, the Black Stone, the Plain of Arafat, and so forth, are all appointed to us by Allah as symbols of the religion of Islam. Because of their status, Allah has referred to them as signs and symbols. Muslims are ordered to honor and respect in manners prescribed by Allah and or taught by His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again, the Muslim's compliance to Allah's order is for his own benefit. Allah states this in chapter 22 in the Noble Quran, 22:32. ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. And whoever honor the signs or symbols of Allah, then it is truly from the piety of the heart. So, the honoring of these sites is not just physical. And not also by actions, but it is from the piety of the heart. The verbal and physical respect of these sites, as commanded by Allah, is to the true believer a reflection of his piety. This aspect of piety is not often understood by those who only see the apparent deeds. The believer honors these rites, times and places because Allah honored them, and thus he is not transgressing the boundaries of Tawheed and entering the circle of Shirk. Therefore, these acts of worship in these sites cannot be a justified pretext for those who circuit the graves of righteous people, call upon their occupants for help, and taking them as intermediates between them and Allah. This is plain shirk. Fifthly, fulfilling the objective. The believer who responds to the call of Allah to visit the Kaaba and perform the rituals there manifests the belief in Tawheed of Allah in all of the rituals. One of the greatest declarations frequently repeated by the pilgrim illustrates the essence of the objective of the journey to the house of Allah. It is remembrance and gratitude. The believer says, here, labbayka Allahumma labbayk, لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. Here I am, O Allah. Here I am. Here I am. You have no partner. Listen to this. You have no partner. Here I am. Surely all praise is due to you, and every bounty is from you. Remembrance and gratitude. And all dominion is yours, and you have no partner. Sixthly, a reminder at the end of the journey. The remembrance of Allah as the only true God worthy of worship must not stop after the believer completes the rites of the pilgrimage. Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, reminds the believers in this. He says in chapter 2, verse 200, فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُم مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَذِكْرِكُمْ آبَاءَكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا. So when you have accomplished your rites of the pilgrimage, remember Allah as you remember your forefathers, or with a far more remembrance. Now, I want you to have your attention, please. Despite the great honor of the Kaaba, Allah did not say in this verse, remember the Kaaba as you remember your forefathers. He didn't say, remember the Kaaba when you are leaving, as you remember your forefathers. He said, remember Allah as you remember your forefathers, or with a far more remembrance. Emphasizing the fact that the one who deserves all worship is Allah alone, without a partner or associate. Seventhly, the remembrance of Allah is not restricted to one place. The remembrance of Allah and His obedience is not limited to a single place. There are many ways and forms of remembrance of Allah. With the tongue, within the heart, and with the actions. Some of these ways or forms may come in general, and some are specific as far as being applicable in certain times and or certain places. Altogether, the remembrance of Allah applies to every aspect of the entire life of a person, whether at home, in the car, at work, on the way to the mosque, at times of ease and at times of difficulty, and so forth. The ways and forms of remembrance are specified by Allah in the Quran and or in the authentic traditions, which is known in Islam as the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam way. This is as far as the Kaaba is concerned. The second aspect of this talk deals with the black stone. First of all, the stone's origin. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said the black stone was brought down from paradise, and it was more intense in its shining white color than milk, than the signs of the offspring of Adam, than the sins of the offspring of Adam turned it dull black. Hence it is called now, or it's known as the black stone. The stone's place in the Kaaba. Prophet Abraham alayhi salam, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, placed the black stone in one of the corners of the Kaaba. It marks the starting point for the circuiting of the Kaaba. It is from the rites of the pilgrimage that prior to each circuit around the Kaaba, the believer kisses the black stone. Those who believe and submit to Allah know that the stone's status is so because Allah the Most High assigned it as one of His signs, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not have kissed it and honored it had it not been that Allah permitted this for him and consequently for the rest of the Muslims until the day of resurrection. This is clearly manifested in the following statement made by the second caliph, caliph meaning leader of believers, the leader of the believers, after he kissed the black stone, and his name is Umar. He said, I know that you are just a stone. I know that you are just a stone. And had I not seen Allah's messenger kissing you, I would not have done so. He then moved forward and kissed it. Umar, the second caliph, the second leader of the believers, after the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, wanted to teach the people that kissing the black stone as one of Allah's symbols is a matter of obedience to Allah and His Messenger. Not because it is a stone which can neither benefit nor cause harm. In fact, in another narration it is reported that he had said, I know that you are just a stone which cannot by itself bring benefit nor cause harm. The people of shirk from the pagan Arabs, however, believed in the idols as being able to bring them benefits and cause them harm. Therefore, the one who kisses the stone in compliance with the way of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, knowing well that Allah is the one who is able to bring benefits and drive away harm, then indeed has kissed it in truth and is obedient to his Lord. And in compliance with the commands of Allah, it cannot be shirk. In Islam, there are specified hours, days, nights, months, and sites which are chosen, distinguished, and favored by Allah. Worshipping Allah as laid down by Him during these times and in or at these sites is not a worship of times or places. The believer realizes that these are created beings honored by Allah the Most High, and that's it. A final word. Allah the Exalted is the All-Wise. He decrees as He wants and as He wishes. He is the One who makes certain things lawful at certain times and then unlawful at other times as He sees fit. The wisdom behind Allah's actions may or may not be known to us at all times. Take for example the following cases. Making the lawful unlawful. In chapter 4, verse 160, فَبِظُلْمٍ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا حَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ طَيِّبَاتٍ أُحِلَّتْ لَهُمْ وَبِصَدِّهِمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا. Because of the wrongdoing of the Jews, we made unlawful to them certain good foods which has been lawful to them, and for their hindering many from Allah's way, and their taking of usury through they were forbidden from taking it, and their devouring of men's substance wrongfully, bribery, etc. And we have prepared for the unbelievers among them a painful torment. As far as mankind are concerned, it is forbidden that they make lawful what Allah has made unlawful, and vice versa. Secondly, it was permissible since the time of Adam and up until the time of Jesus, peace be upon both of them, that people prostrate before people of high rank and status out of respect, and this was not considered to be shirk. In fact, Allah commanded Adam to prostrate, commanded the angels to prostrate to Adam, and his command cannot be shirk. He commanded them to prostrate to Adam. When he commanded it, it is not considered shirk. And in the case of killing, he commanded Abraham to sacrifice his son, and it was a trial and a test. Although we know now it is forbidden to kill an innocent person. In the final message to mankind, prostration to other than Allah is forbidden, and it is of shirk. Listen to this in chapter 41:37. ومن آياته الليل والنهار والشمس والقمر لا تسجدوا للشمس ولا للقمر واسجدوا لله الذي خلقهن إن كنتم إياه تعبدون. And from amongst his signs are the night and the day and the sun and the moon. Prostrate not to the sun and the moon, but prostrate to Allah who created them if you worship Him. So when Allah commands to circulate the Kaaba, it is not therefore shirk. The prostration of the angels to Adam in paradise was an act of worship and a test, because Allah commanded them to do so. In the final message to mankind, Islam, Allah forbade that mankind prostrate to anyone or anything other than Him. The compliance to Allah's command is an act of tawheed, therefore. In all of these examples, the point to be made is that the thing which constitutes worship to Allah is that which He has prescribed. Submission to Allah and to His commands, whether He has made the wisdom behind them known or not, is the essence of Islam. Because as Allah has said about Himself in chapter 21:23, لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. He cannot be questioned as to what He does while they are questioned. Allah is the one who decides, and there is none to put back His judgment nor object to it, because of His greatness, magnificence, pride, knowledge, wisdom, justice and clemency. He is the one who questions His creation as to what they do. We read in the Noble Quran in chapter 30 or 28 verse 70, وَهُوَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ لَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي الْأُولَى وَالْآخِرَةِ وَلَهُ الْحُكْمُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And He is Allah. None has the right to be worshipped but He. His is all praise in the first, meaning in this world, and in the last, meaning in the hereafter. And for Him is the decision and to him shall you all return. Conclusion. The signs of Allah are to be honored and respected as laid down by Allah and or by His Messenger. Secondly, the believer's respect and honor of these signs and symbols does not mean that he is setting up partners with or to the exclusion of Allah. The sole objective of man's presence on earth is the worship of Allah as Allah and or His Messenger has prescribed. The authentically related way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all worship is approved by Allah, who has commanded His creation to follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the final messenger to mankind. The fruits of compliance with Allah's commands are great, whether in this life or in the hereafter. Tawheed is the greatest good and shirk is the worst evil. May Allah the Most High make this work sincerely done for His face and render it beneficial for Muslims and non-Muslims. May Allah forgive me, my parents, and all Muslims, and guide us all to His path. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, and all praise is due to Allah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This brings the end of this topic.